seated, and good morning, everyone. As we look at the church's designated readings since the celebration of Christmas and Epiphany, we see a rapid progression of events surrounding the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This progression early on includes John the Baptist as a key figure, but John's role quickly fades into the background as the one whom he is heralding arrives on the scene. John himself prophesied that it would be so when he said of Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." John was speaking of a crucial transition that was about to take place, a transition that would see his own ministry give way to an infinitely more important one. Again, in John's own words, "After me comes one who ranks before me, for he was before me." The crucial transition which John prophesied takes place in today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. John the Baptist's imprisonment by Herod signals that transition, and it prompts Jesus to leave his hometown of Nazareth and move to the town of Capernaum. Capernaum is on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, an area which St. Matthew identifies as the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. This geographical detail is significant. It's important in that it represents yet another Old Testament messianic prophecy fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus. St. Matthew recognizes this fulfillment as he quotes from Isaiah chapter 9, the same Old Testament passage which we read from this morning. Here's what Matthew says: "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." The land of Zebulun and Naphtali had been invaded by the Assyrians 700 years earlier. And as part of their conquest of that entire region, the Assyrians deported a large portion of the Jewish population and replaced them with a variety of foreigners, all Gentiles, to colonize the region. That's why both Isaiah and Matthew refer to the region as Galilee of the Gentiles. This land, so darkened and devastated by the Gentiles in Isaiah's time, will be among the very first to be privileged to see and hear and experience the light of the good news of the Messiah of Israel. Now, if there is a single verse in this passage that is the focal point of the transition between John the Baptist and Jesus that I mentioned ago, it's verse 17, where Matthew says this: "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Just one chapter earlier, in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, we read this: "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So then in chapter 4, verse 17, we read that Jesus began preaching, in other words, exactly the same message that John had been preaching. It's as if the baton has been passed to the anchor man, the man who's going to run the final decisive leg of a centuries-old relay race. All the prophets of the Old Testament have carried this baton, passing it off from one generation to another, and finally passing it off to John the Baptist, who definitively and climactically passes it off to Jesus. And Jesus then begins this final decisive leg by preaching the same message, the message of repentance that John and the prophets of old had preached: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom rule of Almighty God over mankind and over all creation is one of the primary elements of the revelation of God's unfolding plan of redemption. It is directly connected to God's covenant oath to establish David's royal kingdom. And so John the Baptist had been announcing the spiritual restoration of David's kingdom by Jesus the Messiah, correcting the Jews' mistaken expectation of a renewed political and military kingdom. And the fact that that kingdom rule is now at hand, in other words, has now arrived upon the scene, demands a crucial response from God's people, namely, repentance. Repent for, John and Jesus say. Repent for, that is, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very soon, both the message and the ministry of Jesus would expand as he begins the revelation of his identity as the Messiah and the Son of God. Just a few verses later, for example, in verse 23, we read these words, "And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people." But all of this is preceded, again, by the admonition to repentance. And because Jesus' own emphasis on this admonition to repentance is so strong, I think it behooves you and me to pay close attention. Because the concept of repentance is not some shallow, casual religious notion. It implies the movement toward deep, profound change in our lives. Change. It is a definitive turning around. Metanoia in the original Greek. It's the image of journeying in a given direction for a given period of time and then making a deliberate decision to stop and to change direction. In other words, to turn intentionally from sin and death and Satan and toward righteousness and life and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This turning, this repentance, lies at the very heart of conversion, personal conversion. Now, let me quickly define a term here. Because when many people hear the word conversion, they reflexively think of it in terms of simply becoming Catholic. A person who is, let's say, Lutheran or Methodist or Baptist and goes through RCIA and becomes Catholic is said to have undergone a conversion, and we refer to such people as converts. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the need for conversion in the life of every Catholic, something the last several popes have talked about a great deal, especially in the context of the new evangelization. Here's how the Catechism defines that conversion. Quote, "A radical reorientation of the whole life away from sin and evil and toward God. This change of heart or conversion is a central element of Christ's preaching, of the church's ministry of evangelization, and of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation," end quote. The Catechism also makes reference to the conversion of the baptized, a term which refers to the action whereby an already baptized Christian, cooperating with the grace and moving of the Holy Spirit in his or her life, comes to the understanding that personal friendship with Christ is not only possible, but highly desirable and, in fact, necessary to obey the Lord's call to discipleship. This understanding is then followed by a deliberate, intentional turning toward God in the person of Jesus, repenting of and asking God's forgiveness for my sinfulness, asking Jesus to enter into my life in an intimate way, committing my life and my lifestyle to him, living under his lordship, and striving to allow myself to be transformed into his image. That's personal conversion. If you want to follow Jesus in discipleship, and you should, because that's what Jesus wants of you, there is no path to that end apart from personal conversion. Now let me tell you that I personally am overjoyed that I am a Catholic. I am overjoyed at the fact that God called me back to the Catholic Church, to the Catholic faith. I could not be happier than to be in the heart of the church founded by Christ on the foundation of the apostles. But I've said this to you before, it's not enough to simply say, I'm a Catholic. It's not enough to simply say, I've been baptized and confirmed and I attend Mass on Sundays. Obviously, I'm enthusiastically in favor of all of those things. They're all vital. They're crucial to the practice of our faith. But being baptized and confirmed Catholic in and of themselves does not constitute discipleship. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's critical that we're honest with ourselves in this and ask ourselves straightforwardly if we really know what it means to live in friendship with Christ. Father Raniero Cantalamessa was a Capuchin priest in the Diocese of Rome. During his lifetime, he was the papal preacher to Pope St. John Paul II's pontifical household. He once wrote this, quote, "Discipleship begins when adult persons at least have the occasion to hear the preaching of the gospel, renew their own baptism, consciously choose Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, and commit themselves actively in the life of the church," end quote. John Paul II himself referred to this as the experience by which a person is one day overwhelmed and brought to the decision to entrust himself to Jesus Christ by faith. Pope Benedict XVI spoke of the importance of understanding that all the baptized will eventually be called to make a personal choice to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ in the midst of the church, as he wrote the following, quote, "Faith is above all a personal, intimate encounter with Jesus, and to experience his closeness, his friendship, his love. Only in this way does one learn to know him ever even more and to love and follow him even more. May this happen to each one of us," said Benedict. And so, as I alluded to a moment ago, it is possible to be an observant Catholic without being a disciple of Jesus. Or to put it another way, it is possible to practice our religion and yet not know Christ in a personal way. One of the reasons why it seems today that the popular culture is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the popular culture, I believe, can be traced directly to the lack of personal conversion in the lives of so many Catholics. Now understand, I'm not saying this to judge anyone, and I'm certainly not saying this to make anyone feel bad. I'm saying this to provoke you to change, if change is needed in your life. I'm hoping that this stirs something within you today that will cause you to look deeply into your own soul. And if you have come to the understanding that there's something profoundly lacking in your life, know that Jesus is calling you to conversion, to respond to an invitation that he first issued 2,000 years ago, but that is as vital and as timely and as urgent today as it was then. If you want to become serious about living under the Lordship of Christ, seek a personal conversion and a heart attitude of repentance simply by asking the Lord for it. And understand that the kingdom rule of God is still at hand. It's still, and that by your baptism, it is in you and you are in it. And because of that, you are a subject of the King who calls you this day to repentance, to conversion, to discipleship. And if you respond to that call in the sincerity of your heart, be prepared. Be prepared to see your life transformed forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.